So hi, I'll start off with just a recorded. I watched your video, but that was on YouTube. I'm assuming you don't want us to do like a whole video thing because, well, some of us probably wouldn't know how to do it. So here you go. I'll have to figure out how to send this to you, or Alex will do that. So what is it like living through this quarantine, pandemic, etc.? Wow, okay, that's like such a huge question with like so many different sub layers to me, and just that spiral out very in a very abstract way, which is fine for me because I'm very abstract anyway, so it kind of works. I mean, I'm Italian. I have family in Tuscany, which is, north central Italy. People want to call it central, but it really isn't central Italy. It's north central. It's just, yeah, but in America they tend to call it differently. But anyway, so I communicate with my cousins. I'm a fluent Italian speaker, so obviously, I mean, I talk to my cousins every day via WhatsApp. We text every day, and I was watching Italy unfolding before any of this had happened here, and I knew just because, well, we live in a world where, it's not like when I grew up where it was very unusual for people to travel overseas. I lived overseas for quite a while and back and forth, but that wasn't the norm in the 1960s and 70s when I was a kid. That was not the norm. This is a recent phenomenon that people are so mobile in country to country, and it's just second nature now. We don't even think about it. So, I mean, I knew that at some point it was going to come here, and then, of course, listening to our administration, that just, well, I don't even want to go and get into political stuff, but the fact that they just, were very cavalier about this, and I watched my people in Italy. My family is okay, thank God. I'll just say that first, but the rest of the country and what's happening, especially the northern Milan area, which was the hardest hit because it's very densely populated and has the biggest influx of, Milan being a banking center and a very international commerce and fashion and just everything. It's one of the biggest financial cities in the world, so there's everyone going there. So of course it's going to spread there like wildfire. But so looking at that, I knew that this was, on its way here, obviously. And then, of course, Guy, you listen to your what's happening in the administration, you listen to the news, and I try to find different news sources. And of course, I look at the Swedish ones and what they're saying. I look at the Italian ones, and I talk to my cousins. And it didn't look good. Sweden didn't think they were going to have anything, and lo and behold, of course, they do. But it's just a very, so yeah. I mean, it's been as I watch it unfold, I understand because I'm a bicultural person, like my mom's American, so but I get, I mean, I for me, I understand the Italian mentality, not the one, and when I say Italian mentality, what you guys know to be that over here is not what we are there. So let's just make that distinction straight on because it's extremely different. People that have come to this country, immigrated to this country, been here for several generations. It's not, you're not Italian. I mean, it's great. You are of Italian descent. Yes, you are, of course, but it's an entirely different thing. Those of us that grew up there and lived there and been back and forth and have roots there, like, I mean, like as we live there, that's where we're from. It is a different perspective because when you live there, you see, you turn a corner and there's a plaque telling you what happened during World War II or World War I, with the Germans. Five people got shot here by Germans, etc., etc. So there's always that front and center, even for very young people. My cousin's kid is very young. He's 35, 34, and he still, his generation as well as younger generations still understand and know about these things. Whereas for American people, that kind of stuff stopped probably. Kids, people that are a generation before me, those recollections of World War II and this or that. Obviously, what we know historically and learn in school, that's different. But Americans didn't really have anything on their soil. And so they have a very different attitude towards that. Whereas European people, it's a little bit different. And especially countries like Italy and France, where we had just tremendous upheaval. So Americans just don't think that the stuff's going to affect them. They never do. And I don't mean this in a bad way, so no one take offense. This is not like an I, you, me, we're all in this together at this juncture. But you have to understand, your administration really still perpetrates that idea of America being this, this very isolated, they're perpetrating that isolationism. That's just my opinion. It's not up for debate. It's just my opinion, right or wrong, whatever it is. I see it from my eyes, being a person who has had the opportunity to live back and forth and still communicate, you know, so, and years ago, I'm saying, like, I don't, now it's a little bit different because we all can communicate really well via internet and all kinds of wonderful things. So we can see things that when I was a kid, you didn't know about. But so people here don't think, just really didn't think it was going to come here. Same thing in Italy. Italy could have reacted much quicker than they did. I know that for a fact. Northern Italy has probably one of the best medical systems in the EU. Absolutely. Hands down. And yet it still failed under this kind of huge influx that they probably hadn't seen this type of stuff since World War II, literally. So for me, it's been a very incredible journey of watching my people struggle and wanting to, like, go home and go there, really, which I can't. My home is here now. I have children here, obviously. So, but for me, it's very painful. It's an excruciating thing. When I look and watch, I have to step back because I would be crying all day. And I am the kind of person who gets on with stuff. So that's not okay. But it's excruciating to have to watch that. And then to see people here being like, well, we'll go on spring break. Well, we'll just keep going to church. Like, what? I just can't even, like, I just don't understand that type of incredible, number one, selfishness, but number two, attitude of like, well, it's happening there, which again, it's, you see it, it's a typically cultural thing. And I also feel like this is a turning point for humanity. It really, and if we take it at that, if we take it as a turning point, we can do really well. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes to me, when I look at what's happens here politically, I see it as it's not going to be a turning point because, as we know, Bernie Sanders just had to withdraw. So how sad is that? And it'll just go on business as usual because everybody gets real comfortable here. No one has come to a level of superior discomfort where they're going to just say, hey, let's jump and revolutionize everything. And I realize I sound like, you know, dreamy pie in the sky, but I'm really not, because nothing was ever accomplished, I feel like, of really great value. It's just too slow. You know what I'm saying? Things get accomplished. Yes, that was probably incorrect. Things do get accomplished, but sometimes you just need like this thrust, this like big jump, and be like, okay, everything shut down. Let's you think about it, because the constructs that we have, monetary systems, even time. Think of time, your clock. It's divided into 12 hours. What did you have before that? Before that was, well, 13th century, you had a Babylonian sundial, and that really is the way of examining the circadian rhythm and looking at how the hours change. We constructed a clock. We constructed daylight saving. That's our construct. As quickly as you constructed something, you can also deconstruct it. So all the systems that we have in place can be deconstructed. And in the end, it happens to be that we're capitalists and everything revolves around money. So it won't. And that's my greatest fear. Out of all this, that's what I sit and think about. That's what I am. What's in my mind, late in the wee hours, and in general, is: are we going to use this as a point, a takeoff point, or whatever you want to call it, a moment in history where we say, okay, let's everyone get together because the world is smaller. You can do that now. It's not like it used to be. We all need to work together. Drop down borders. Drop down things. What can we do? Even if it's just first world countries, so to speak, or even if it's just a certain group of countries, you can change things because, let's face it, first world countries are the ones that dictate what happens in the other countries, what media they listen to, how do they dress, do they drink Coca-Cola or not? Like, let's just, you know, have you ever been to a third world country? I mean, like, it's, you know, that's how it is. So just go to India and you'll see what I mean. And India is beautiful. No offense to anything there. It's beautiful, beautiful, incredible, incredible place. But so that's where my head is at. It's unfortunate because sometimes I can't get out of my head. But the good points of it, I will say, are definitely like the slowdown, the time to really, for me, to look into writing or on a personal level, blogging or doing something with that. And having been forced to slow down, it opens up to look at other things. So I do more meditation, I do more yoga, which are only good things. And, you know, long hours of meditation are really, really good. Hopefully it's, you know, helping in other aspects, like with helping the immune system, which it can. So that's good. But I can definitely see that that's been a positive thing, where people are definitely reaching out to other people, checking in with people, neighbors helping, people being a little, I see it. For me, I'm greedy. It's never enough. I always want to see people doing more and being bigger and being giants and just stretching themselves to be just bigger than they are, because that's something I've always aspired to and tried to do in my life in pretty small ways, but they ended up being pretty big ways, having been through serious illness and just things that I've put in place in my life to make sure that I'm being a really the biggest person I can possibly be. Like, just how big can I be? How much better of a person can I be? And that self-reflection, which I've always had, like, that's just been who I am in my life. But now it's just doubled down because of where we're at. But those are the bigger points of it. I mean, there's a lot of different things, and I probably could go on, but I don't want to go on that long for you. I'm sure this is too long already. So, okay. Thanks a bunch for what you're doing. Chris, it's awesome. Alex, great job, guys. So, all right. Much love.